The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?
He said,
Please be seated. This is a long gospel, and I think you will listen to it better if you're seated. Go into the city, said Jesus, to a certain man, and tell him the teacher says, My appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said,
Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me.
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another,
Surely it is not I, Lord.
He said in reply,
He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes as is it written, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born.
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
Surely it is not I, Rabbi.
He answered,
You have said so.
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said,
Take and eat. This is my body.
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed in behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. And I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you, new in the kingdom of my Father.
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee.
Peter said to him in reply,
Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be.
Jesus said to him,
Amen, I say to you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.
Peter said to him,
Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you.
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
Sit here while I go over there to pray.
He took along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
My soul is sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and keep watch with me.
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep.
So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again.
My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking, your will be done.
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him."
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said,
"Hail, Rabbi."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
"Friend, do what you have come for."
Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back in its sheath, for all who have taken the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this very moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then, how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out against a robber with swords and clubs to seize him? Day after day I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass, that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance as far as the high priest's courtyard. And going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated, "The high priest rose and addressed him,
'Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?'
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
'I order you to tell us under oath, before the living God, whether you are the Christ, the Son of God.'
Jesus said to him in reply,
'You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
'He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?'
They said in reply, Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying,
'Prophesy for us, Christ. Who is that who struck you?'
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said,
'You too were with Jesus of Galilee.'
But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
'I do not know what you are talking about.'
As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there,
'This man was Jesus of Nazareth.'
Again he denied it with an oath,
'I do not know the man.'
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter,
'Surely you too are one of them. He is away.'
At that, he began to curse and to swear,
'I do not know the man.'
And immediately a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, 'Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out. He began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
"I have sinned in betraying innocent blood."
They said, flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said,
"It is not lawful for us to use it in the temple to raise the price of blood."
After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why that field, even today, is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate, who questioned him.
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?"
But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now, on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
"Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?"
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message, "Have nothing to do with the righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him." The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
"Which of the two do you want me to release to you?"
They answered,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them,
"Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?"
They all said,
"Let him be crucified."
But he said,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
They only shouted the louder,
"Let him be crucified."
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves."
And the whole people said in reply,
"His blood be upon us and upon our children."
Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who destroyed the temple and rebuilt it in 3 days, save yourself. You are the Son of God. You come down from the cross."
Likewise, the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him and said, "The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
'Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani,'
which means,
'My God, why have you forsaken me?'"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"This one is calling for Elijah."
Immediately, one of them ran out to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, pulling it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said,
"Wait, let us see if Elijah comes to save you."
But Jesus cried out in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him who were keeping watch over Jesus feared greatly when they saw the earthquake in all that was happening, and they said,
"Truly, this was the Son of God."
There were many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember that this imposter, while still alive, said, 'After 3 days, I will be raised up.' Give orders to him and die, and he raised his spirit to the third day. Let his disciples come to heal him, to say to the people, 'He will be raised from the dead.' This last imposter will be worse than the first."
Pilate said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard. The Gospel of the Lord.
I'm watching the clock so that we don't offend the people coming to the next Mass. But just for a few moments of reflection, to put this passion of Jesus Christ into focus and to wonder what it means to us as we journey through Holy Week. Reading the life of Christ in the Gospels, there are two main parts. One is the public life of Christ, where he's active. He's curing people, raising people from the dead, breaking bread with sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes. He's blessing people and welcoming people. He's outgoing. And the second part of the life of Christ in the Gospels is what we have today, the passion, death of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection. So we're reading the passion. So let me wonder what this passion might mean to us today, now, in our journey of life. The word passion comes from a Latin passio, which means passivity or being passive. The English word patient comes from passio. To be inactive, to be passive. That's the passion of Jesus Christ. What would this mean to us? I worked with Cardinal Manning for 20 years, and he retired here at Holy Family. And in 1989, in January 89, he was diagnosed with very extensive bone cancer, which changed his whole life, and my life, and the lives of many persons. Now he was helpless. He had spent his whole life preaching and caring and confirming and being very active, being alive and blessing people. Now he was passive. This was his passion. And he went through 6 months of great pain and destruction of his body. That was his passion. He was passive. He was incapable of doing anything. Everybody had to help him. He was paralyzed in that sense. That was his passion. And when he entered into his passion, it changed everything. Changed the way we prayed. It changed our priorities. It changed things that were important to very unimportant and elevated essential things. That's what happens in the passion. He went through this passion for 6 months. He died in June 1989. The teaching is, do we have to go through some devastation in order to understand the experience of having a moment of passion where things are out of control? You can't control everything. Your family, your children, whatever it is, your journey in life, you're paralyzed. It's out of control. You have to be passive because you can't control it. Is there some way in which, as we journey through Holy Week, we could change our priorities? And instead of the ambition, the acquiring of things, all that the world can give us, we could set it aside and say, we are going to walk through the passion of Jesus Christ. We're going to become passive. Let things go. Forgive people. Let the hurts of the past go. That's what it means to become passive and to follow the passion of Jesus Christ. Where in your life will the passion of Jesus Christ change you during Holy Week? Where in your life will it invite you into a place of reflection, not seeking what you need for yourself, but seeking what other people need, to be passive in self-serving, to let things go, to not hold a grudge, to be free to follow Jesus Christ in passivity? That's the passion. He was powerful, and yet he chose to be powerless. Is it possible that somewhere in my life I could choose to be powerless? I don't have to be in control. I don't have to have the last word. I don't have to get my way. I'm going to bless others with my suffering, with my humility, with my freedom. That's what it means to follow Jesus Christ in this holy week of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Christ. Amen.